I think it's time to come to the realization that you're stuck in a loveless relationship, marriage more so, for the next year. And from there, we'll be able to decide and determine the future of not just Dame Dollar, not just Damian Lillard, but more importantly, our Portland Trailblazers. Eitan Shander at Shander Show, 750 The Game, 503-417-7575. Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports, is going to join us at the top of the second hour. He has inside information about this whole situation brewing between Olshay and Lillard and how it will eventually end, as we are now led to believe that the Dame watch is on hold. 8 minutes from now, I'll give you two NFC West futures that you must bet. I'm telling you right now, if you don't jump in now, the value will be gone the next time we speak. As far as Lillard is concerned, we're told right now, at least Mark Stein and so many other people who have gone on national television saying, put the brakes right now on any trade for this year. Okay, I think we can all agree that from the Olympics through now, it seems as if both sides have been vocal, either through reports or Lillard himself, saying the same thing, which is, yeah, this relationship is coming to an end, but we're going to give it one more shot. And look, this isn't like the typical failures in relationships where you have this major moment just to try to save something. I don't believe that outside of winning a championship, which, let's be fair, isn't going to happen, although the odds as far as win total and making the playoffs are out, and that's always a great indication of how the books feel about our squad here. But to be fair, I think the realistic expectations of the Blazers center around making the playoffs and continuing to make that push and keeping the guy in CJ McCollum happy. That's what this is all about now. Everything about this moving forward is keep CJ happy. That's all Shay's guy. You don't have the connection. You don't have that established relationship of bringing somebody to your team like Olshay and Lillard do not, as opposed to McCollum. So with CJ here, there are two things that this team now and the person up top, everything that they do revolves around, yes, keeping CJ McCollum happy, but also providing necessary pieces in return. You can't just dump Damian Lillard, salary dump Damian Lillard, and expect your next big star to be happy with that and to be going on with that and to not, in a year or so, demand the same thing, which is, hey, hold on a second here, looking around, this doesn't really feel right. If, in fact, you are going to move Damian Lillard, which we know they will, then yes, you may have to preemptively do it this season, even if it's mid-season before the trade deadline, in order to get ahead of either dropped value at the end of this year, and it's not going to be significantly, he's not going to fall off the face of the earth like a rock sinking in the ocean, but it may be the difference. God forbid he gets hurt, misses some games. It may be the difference in an extra first-round pick. It may be the difference in a player like Ben Simmons, for example, as opposed to somebody struggling to make an all-star team. That may be a discernible difference depending on what actually happens with Damian Lillard this year. So while I know both sides have maintained that, hey, we're here, we're going to try to work this out, or I'm playing the good soldier until they trade me. That's kind of what I'm getting from Damian Lillard. And, you know, that is the best and really only way that Dame can handle this. He's not going to sit out. There's not going to be a holdout, contract demands, things along those lines. It's pretty much the time has run its course here. And you know that. We've all been in relationships like that. Could be personal relationships, could be business relationships. We've all been in that situation. At Shander Show on Twitter, 503-417-7575, 750 The Game, Eitan Shander. You have to look at the connection that is not there versus what was there. It's a matter right now of trying to determine what you can get back. And look, Summer League aside, I know a lot of people went down to watch Beasley, but the reality is the future is not about who you're bringing in on this team, at least via draft. The future is about what Olshay does, insanely confident now in his own picks and skills because there isn't a Paul Allen. There isn't somebody keeping him in check. Hey, we don't like that move. Or, hey, you better keep this kid here. There's not that anymore. We know that a new owner is just way more absentee than what we saw previously. So, yes, there is a connection via the draft itself, but there's not this heart-to-heart that Olshay has with Dame, which he does have with CJ. That was Olshay's find, the Lehigh star to be. And you can build on that. Look, I've seen that in the NFL constantly. A general manager picks somebody in the sixth, seventh round, maybe even undrafted, moves into at least the ability to start, and next thing you know, it's bragging around the league. You see this guy? Nobody knew about him. Seventh round, the guy was playing rugby in Australia before we found him. So there is a sense of confidence that, hey, I can do this. I can do this. And we know that there's a history of trade deadline moves with this general manager, especially as opposed to others. And yes, the conflict that we're dealing with right now is what happens where the majority of these big blockbuster moves are done in the summer versus, hey, I got to get the best return possible. I have to get somebody back immediately that can help this basketball team. Sitting and watching the Philadelphia 76ers covering this team for years, I can tell you that initially, from a Sixers standpoint, it's a no-brainer to work any deal you can possibly work with Ben Simmons and other assets, even in a third team, to bring back Damian Lillard. Now, from Portland's standpoint, you do have to bring somebody who immediately makes life easier for CJ McCollum. And although I wouldn't wish the frustrations that Sixers fans have felt watching Ben Simmons not grow in one key area, but blossom in others like defense, passing the ball, and rebounding, it's a major give and take. You are going to see somebody who puts out hype videos every summer of him doing stuff that you will never see in a game. And it's maddening. But here's the big thing. 2 minutes from now, the NFC West futures, you must bet. The biggest key, the biggest takeaway in all of this is if you can work a trade out with the Philadelphia 76ers and a third team to ensure that you're getting more than just Ben Simmons back, if it's a young player like Tyrese Maxey or if it's assets from a third team draft capital that you know is going to be lottery level picks, then you make this deal. You make this deal most likely at the start of the preseason. That's when it's going to happen more so than anything else. The start of the preseason. Because if not, well, you might be stuck holding a bag that nobody wants to hold in this regard, which is a superstar level talent that you can't move, that you simply can't do anything with. And it's not because you don't want to. It's because the market has dried up to a sense in which you're not going to get anything back close to a return. And Olshay's not going to overprice himself like Daryl Morey did with Ben Simmons initially. That's not going to happen. At Shander Show, 750 the game. Again, the number 503-417-7575. 30 minutes from now, Kurt Heelan, top of the second hour, is going to join us with more inside information about this and just what may happen with Damian Lillard and, dare I say, Ben Simmons. If you're not jumping in this NFC West future right now, you've wasted time and money. The value is going to be gone in the next week. It may be gone the next time we speak. So I want you to understand, as we look at the NFC West, that there are going to be some obvious plays, maybe people piled on because of all of the new shiny toys that are flashing around this division. But in reality, here's Seattle, where a couple of main key cogs on defense have been replaced. Granted, you're dealing with, once again, another year under Russell Wilson's belt, but the reality is, even with Rashad Penny coming back to this backfield, Chris Carson healthy, You've added one of the most athletic, better pass-catching tight ends in the league. This is Seattle's MO. You just forget about them. Forget all about them. Downplay what they've done in the offseason. Remind yourself that, yeah, okay, the Hawks can't do anything. How many more years are we going to see this where Russell Wilson just bails out a football team? And, well, you know, that's part of having an elite all-world quarterback, is that you can get around mistakes. You can get around even poor offensive line play. That's the key here. The two biggest things for the Seahawks are protecting the quarterback and getting to the quarterback. Well, come on, Shander. That's the same thing for every team. Yes, but not every team has a Russell Wilson. Not every team has a situation where new offensive coordinator is going to do everything possible to make life easier for Russell Wilson. New offense is going to be geared and designed to allow Wilson to continue to shine, not just drop back and hand off the football. It's not going to be a situation where all of a sudden Wilson is just going to be left remotely out of the conversation. Plus 275 to win the NFC West. Hammer it right now. The Niners at plus 200 and the Rams, because everybody loves the Rams because now they have a quarterback, even though when Jared Goff was playing well above his skis, that team's still underachieved. The LA Rams define underachievement. If you bill them as a Super Bowl contender or Super Bowl champion, they're going to let you down. The easiest thing to do is say, well, the Rams are going to make the playoffs. That's it. That's when you don't lose or at least falter with your expectations. Plus 175, there's no value there. Arizona's not winning this division, so the plus 550 is fool's gold. But plus 275, watch. We've seen this in the preseason. There was a quarterback controversy in San Francisco. I can't imagine that people want Jimmy Garoppolo to start there, knowing that he is not long for that position in that team. Meanwhile, here comes Trey Lance. It's a learning curve for anybody. Trey Lance steps into a new team. At some point, he's going to be the starting quarterback. It's going to take a little bit. It doesn't matter how good the talent is around Lance. He's going to make a mistake or three. Matthew Stafford has done great things in Detroit when he's down by 50 every week. He's going to have to make some throws that he hasn't made in his career. He's going to be in games that he's never been in his career. Stafford played for a loser. So if you want to look at plus 275 on the books as the best value for this division, it's only going to drop as soon as Seattle takes advantage of the first couple of weeks of the schedule compared to what's happening around them in division. And that's why I maintain that if you can jump in, you should right now at plus 275, it's the way to do it. Week one, reminder that they're on the road in Indianapolis. Look, I can't tell you what's happening with Carson Wentz with their all-pro guard and Nelson, but I can tell you this, Wentz is not somebody I'm betting on in a new system where he's been hurt for the majority of the preseason. Versus the Seahawks, who come in relatively healthy with some new faces and new places, etc. But at the very least, you have a great opportunity to catch Indianapolis on their heels, trying to figure out what their offense looks like. And if it's Jacob Eason, my goodness, this is a roll right here for Seattle. Plus 275, Hawks to win the division. You want to have some fun? Take the Rams plus 225 to finish second. Now, let's look at what that means. The Rams finishing second at plus 225 leaves the Niners at plus 250 to finish third. Doesn't mean that they're going to have a bad year. It just means that they're going to be these bumps and bruises. And lastly, they're not going to get a great return, but at least it's even money. Arizona plus 100. I'll tell you, great return coming up next. We have found a pathway for the Ducks to make the playoffs. And yes, that means you better be betting it three times over. We're going to give you the pathway for the Ducks to make the playoffs and how you can make money off of that coming up next. Eitan Shander at Shander Show, 750 The Game.